Good morning. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Our pastor and Janet are in Danville this weekend. Frank's bringing the messages there. Brother Eric Floyd will bring the morning message this morning. We pray that you keep them in your prayers, as well as myself and our teachers that are teaching our children this morning. The word of the Lord go out in power and accomplish his purpose. We're promised that it won't return to him void. We trust that promise. 2 Timothy chapter 3, our text is in verses 14 and 15, but we'll read the whole chapter to start. 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, laden away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, in Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Here's our text. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you be with us this morning in this service and in the messages that our children are hearing. I pray that you bless your word according to your will. Bring glory to your name, for you alone are worthy. Call sinners to repentance according to your will. Call your children. Edify your saints. Let us seek Christ and his mercy. Let us see him and his work as our only hope and our only standing before a righteous throne, that we may come before your throne and expect mercy in Christ. Pray that we see that today, and that your name be glorified. We pray for our pastor and for Janet, that you give them a time of fellowship with our brethren in Danville. And according to your will, bring them safely home to us. We thank you for the traveling mercies that you've given others that have been traveling over the past week. Thank you for bringing them home to us. And we pray for those that are undergoing trial, that you comfort according to your will as only you can. Again, Father, we pray that your name be glorified in this place this morning, and that you bring honor and glory to yourself. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I talked to, or text actually, my mom a little bit yesterday, and she asked me how I was doing. And Stacy asked the same, and I gave them both the same answer. I told him that my thoughts are jumbled. And yesterday, my thoughts were just jumbled. And I was just really struggling with that yesterday. Why are my thoughts so jumbled? And this morning, I listened to the kids over breakfast, and each of them are trying to tell me a story. And they're so excited. And whatever story it is they're trying to tell, they're so excited about it. And the story, it's a thousand facts, and it's in no order. And if you tried to put punctuation on it, there's no sentence structure, there's no nothing. It's because they're just so excited to tell you the story, and the story just blurts out. That's why my thoughts are jumbled. My spirit has been blessed by this study, and I'm not nervous about the word. The word's true and sovereign. I'm not nervous about that. I'm excited because my spirit's excited, and it's been blessed, and I want your spirit to be blessed. And it all just wants to jumble out. So I try to put it in some sort of order. I've actually been blessed by my own message in that jumbled up thought. The message today is that God is sovereign, no matter what. And I can take comfort in that, even when my thoughts are jumbled. God is sovereign. Christ is full of grace and truth, no matter what. Those are absolutes. Even when my thoughts are jumbled, God is sovereign. Christ is full, an absolute, full of grace and truth. And I can take comfort in that. This is the Lord's doing. And I'm comforted by the very message that I prepared. And I pray that your spirit is blessed the way mine has been. I preached a funeral recently from these verses, and I just haven't been able to get away from them. The more I think of them, the more the Lord has blessed me with both spiritual and bear with me, both spiritual and practical application. And I say bear with me because I'm really hesitant to separate those two as if they're independent from each other. They're not. Spiritual blessing and so-called practical application, they're not independent. They go together. The Bible never speaks of physical or practical blessings unless they follow spiritual blessings. So they're not separate, but if you'll bear with me, we'll look at them separately and see if one doesn't show the other, doesn't mirror the other, so that we see the blessing more clearly. Just listen. Don't turn yet. Listen to Romans 8. You know these verses very well. The practical application of the physical blessings always follow the spiritual blessings, and they all flow from God. He's sovereign. Romans 8 says, "We know that these things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." These things work together for good, the practical application, to them that love God, who are the called according to the purpose. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, the spiritual blessing. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, the spiritual blessing, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The practical blessing. Practical application always follows the spiritual blessing. We only have a hope in that so-called practical application if it follows the spiritual. And again, they can't be separated. And believe me, I'm not trying to. They can't be separated. But I've been blessed by looking again at each separately because they mirror each other. And the more clearly I see one, the more clearly I've seen the other. And I pray that you do as well. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Continue thou in the things. What things? Well, God is sovereign, as I mentioned before. God is sovereign. He's absolutely in control. And Christ is full of grace and truth. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Full of grace and truth. Now, I love the absolutes in the Bible. We don't find those in our physical world. Full of grace and truth. No room for everything else that our wicked hearts tell us that Christ is. Full of grace and truth. There's no room for unjust vindictiveness with Christ. He's full of grace. Full of grace. There's no room for error. He's full of truth. Full of truth. Full. We'll look to see that Paul points specifically to these characteristics in these verses. So this is the message, and we'll take time to look at each point, but this is the message that has blessed me. I remember Henry saying, what? Tell them what you're going to say, tell them what you're going to say it, and then tell them what you said, right? Is that the order? So this is the message. And I like verses that are specifically addressed to me. I on our wall hangs the verse, I believe you gave us that picture, husbands, love your wives. I like that. That verse is addressed specifically to me. This is a true and faithful saying. Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's a verse I can enter into. That verse is addressed to me. Everyone in this room today will see there are verses here for everyone that are addressed specifically to you. This is the message. Now, 3 points. Comfort for believers in trial. Is your heart heavy? Continue thou in these things. God is sovereign. He's full of grace and truth. 2, an admonition for believers. Your heart will deceive you. That's what Paul's writing to Timothy here. Your heart will deceive you. Maybe you feel cast off. Maybe you hear those wicked voices in your heart and in your head telling you that God isn't who he says he is. Continue that in those things. An admonition to believers, because God is sovereign. Christ is full of grace and truth. 3, a warning to those who don't know Christ. For those who cannot continue thou in those things which thou hast learned and been assured of, because you haven't learned and been assured of them, right now is the time. If you're a sinner, now is the time. Learn these things and be assured of them. Know Christ. Know the Holy Scriptures. That's the next verse. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And if you're not a sinner, if that doesn't speak to you, if you're not a sinner, if you don't need to be made wise unto salvation, then you're blind. And I ask the Lord to show you your need right now, because God is sovereign and Christ is full of grace and truth. So that's what has blessed me during this study. The same answer, continue then. That same answer answers comfort for believers in trial, an admonition to believers to continue thou in those things, and a commandment to believe. So first we'll look at a comfort for believers in trial. Paul is older, and he's writing this letter to the younger Timothy, and Paul refers to Timothy numerous times as his son, or his dearly beloved son. This is a tender letter from Paul to Timothy. It's tender in its instruction, but it's also a letter to us. It's a letter directly to us. In this chapter, Paul's actually warning Timothy throughout the whole chapter of trials that are to come. They will come. In the first 13 verses, Paul writes about the trials that Timothy will endure, as well as the trials that Paul himself has already endured. Look up in verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All will suffer trial and persecution. And the answer in verse 14 is, but continue them. Continue them. You're faced with trials and decisions every day. Things change. Life changes. Doesn't changes quickly. It seems that the older I get, the more resistant I am to that change. I don't learn to change better. I'm getting worse at it as time goes on, and things seem to change faster and faster. Does everything seem more gray to you? Less black and white, more gray. Things change. Whatever the issues are in your life, your family, your job, your friends, what our country's doing or what our country isn't doing, does everything just seem less black and white to you? Does everything seem just more gray? And so often I feel like I'm trying to hit a moving target. You have to make decisions in your life without having all the information that you feel you need to make those decisions. Things change rapidly. Maybe it's because I just notice it more now. I'm a dad and I'm supposed to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. So maybe I notice it more now than I used to. That change happens fast. We live in a gray area a lot on the surface. What we see is a lot of change and a lot of gray area on the surface. But no matter what the decision is, no matter what the trial is, whether you're 15 years old or 50 years old or 150 years old, Paul gives us the answer here to every decision, every trial that we'll ever face in our life. What do we do? Verse 14 says, continue thou. Unchanged. Continue thou. In a life of nonstop change, Christ does not change. We sing yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Therefore, glory to his name, right? Continue thou, unchanged. Continue thou in what? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. They haven't changed either. In our world, every law has an exception. Have you thought about that? Every law has an exception. The speed limit. The speed limit applies to, doesn't apply to police cars or ambulances, right? It doesn't apply in an emergency. There's an exception. It's not an absolute law. I thought of you all in the Grand Canyon while I was studying this, that I read gravity. According to what I read, gravity is actually slightly stronger at the bottom of the Grand Canyon than it is at the top of a mountain. So you all weigh a little bit more when you're in the Grand Canyon. But certainly you go 50 miles up and gravity is nearly non-existent. So even a law as constant as gravity isn't absolute. It has exceptions. All laws, so-called laws, have exceptions. I had a seventh grade teacher. I believe he was a science teacher. I can't remember. But he taught us one trick to taking true and false tests. And he says if the answer on the true and false test says that something is always this way, or if it's never this way, the answer is false. Because nothing in our life is always this way. Nothing in our life is never this way. So his actual words were, if it says always or false, excuse me, if it says always or never, it's always false, usually. That was his exception. So nothing is ever constant. Nothing is absolute. Everything changes, but not the Lord. All may change. All will change. All will change. But Jesus never. Glory to his name. Continue thou. When my father passed, someone told me something that really helped me. They said, this is our new normal. And that's a real common phrase. I know it used to be very popular in business settings. The new normal kind of gives people the right in their mind, if you will, to accept the normal that is now and not try to recreate the normal that was past. It's a way to help people cope with change. This is our new normal. Our new normal. But Christ does not change. This is our new normal. It's okay to accept different because it's still normal. It's just not the new normal. And trial so often does involve change. That's at the heart of most trials, change. So especially in trial, what comfort there is in the fact that Christ does not change. Continue, no matter what. Continue thou in those things which thou hast learned and been assured of. There is no new normal with Christ. Continue then. Christ is still sovereign. He's still full of grace and truth. Continue then. Christ doesn't change and there's no exception. This is absolute. Continue thou in those things. What are those things? Continue thou in those things which thou hast learned and been assured of. What are those things? Paul says, continue following Christ. But Paul clarifies here, not the Christ of our mind. Continue thou following the sovereign Christ, sovereign in all things with no exception. And look here again at verse 14. Continue thou in those things which thou hast learned and been assured of. It goes immediately to God's sovereignty, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. There's no exceptions. Paul goes quickly and directly to God's sovereignty. Turn over with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. While we're turning, Henry wrote in his commentary, and I like this, so I'll quote him. What you have received was not of man, but the gospel of grace has God as its author. What you've received is not of men, not of man or of men. What you've received is not of men, but the gospel of grace has God as its author. Paul points first directly to God's sovereignty. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. There's God's sovereignty. This is what Paul's talking about. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God's sovereignty. Continue thou in those things, knowing of whom. The Lord is sovereign, knowing of whom. Look up in verse 11, back in our text in 2 Timothy 3, in verse 11. Paul suffers trials in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and this is just a few. Paul writes, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, here's the key. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me. Paul points directly to the Lord's sovereignty. Knowing of whom? Continue thou in those things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Knowing of whom? The Lord is sovereign. The Lord delivered Paul. In dark trials, when you're very low, and it might be that you feel you can only hold on to one thing, if that. You've heard the phrase, holding on by a thread. Right? You might feel that you can only hold on to one thing. Continue thou in those things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Maybe the only thread I can grasp onto is the Lord's sovereignty. Maybe that's all I can see right now. And the truth is, well, I like when I see the Lord's purpose. And sometimes we're blessed to see a little bit. How many times have you been delayed in traffic? I'll admit, all right, I'll tell myself. I'm delayed in traffic, I grumble. Borderline road rage. I hate going slow. And I'm traveling, and what happens? 15 minutes down the road, there's a wreck. That had I not been delayed, I'd have been right in the middle of it. And I think to myself, when will I learn to quit griping, to quit murmuring against the Lord's absolute sovereignty? When will I learn to do that? The truth is, whether I am privy to see a bit of His purpose or I'm not, the Lord's still sovereign. My understanding of that, whether I see that or not, doesn't change it a bit. The Lord's still sovereign. Excuse me. So if all I can hold on to is that one thread of the Lord's sovereignty, and it may feel like a thread, well, at the time, it might feel like a thread in the middle of trial. You get a hold of the Lord's sovereignty in trial, I promise you, it's not a thread. You're on real solid ground there, even if it feels like a thread. You're on very solid ground. Isn't that exactly what David did? Turn over into Psalm 121. Psalm 121, and when we're talking about holding on to that thread of the Lord's sovereignty. In other psalms, that you see that David starts with holding on to the thread of, I know that the Lord is merciful. You hold on to that thread. And watch what David does. Watch how his strength grows through the psalm. And he starts with the Lord's sovereignty. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. David knows the Lord's sovereign. I lift up my eyes unto the hills. That's where my help comes from. The Lord is sovereign. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Absolutely sovereign. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. David started with just the Lord's sovereignty. I'm going to look to the hills from whence cometh my help. The Lord made heaven and earth. And he ends with, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He's on solid ground, starting with the Lord's sovereignty. Continue then. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Continue thou. He's still sovereign. He's still full of grace and truth. Continue thou. Number 2, an admonition to believers. So we've seen God's sovereignty, and here we see Christ, full of grace and truth. When I started, I promised we'd see both of those in the text, right? God's sovereignty, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We'd see God's sovereignty, that is what Paul's talking about. We'll also see Christ full of grace and truth. Paul admonishes Timothy here to not be deceived. And starting back in 13 of our text, 2 Timothy 3, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. There's grace. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. There's truth. Believer, continue thou in those things. Number one, knowing of whom. Remember God's sovereignty. It hasn't changed. Remember God's sovereignty. It hasn't changed. Any message that your heart is hearing that is contrary to that is evil. Isn't that what verse 13 says? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And it doesn't take much. I don't mean to sound like it comes from an external. Certainly, you turn on the TV and listen to most everything that's out there. Or if you read anything, my goodness, if you talk to friends, boy, the message is you're just bombarded with error concerning who Christ is, what he has done, concerning who God is. It's everywhere. But all that's doing, all that external, the reason it gets in here is because my evil heart's already there, ready to receive it. The reason it gets inside is because my evil nature's already there, ready to lap that error up. Paul says, Timothy, no. Continue thou. Continue thou in those things. Any message contrary to that is evil. In those things which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, I stress the word make, able to make thee wise unto salvation, that's grace. Wisdom and salvation given where wisdom and salvation wasn't before, these are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Wisdom where wisdom was not before, that's grace. Sinners are made wise. They don't become wise, they're made wise. It's God's sovereignty. That's grace. And where? Where? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's truth. God doesn't grant forgiveness on a whim. And that's not forgiveness, first of all. That might be our definition of forgiveness. What we call forgiveness might really be, I'm going to agree to not be mad about this anymore, and I'm going to agree to never bring it up again in conversation. That might be more our definition of forgiveness. And if that's our idea of God's forgiveness, if somewhere inside me, if that's, and I hate to admit, it is inside me. Somewhere inside me, I'm always hearing, you're not good enough. The Lord's going to change his mind. He's going to see who I really am. That's evil, is what this text says. That's evil, is what that is. If I start to thinking that God's forgiveness is like my forgiveness, then I should be afraid. I shouldn't rest. There's no peace there. That's not forgiveness. That's a perversion. God's forgiveness is granted in justice and truth. Forgiveness granted because sinners in Christ owe nothing. Owe nothing. Jesus paid it all. That's what Mike sings. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. The debt of sin left a deep crimson, unwashable stain. But he washed me white as snow. Paul admonishes us, he admonishes Timothy, but he admonishes us. Continue thou in those things. When your heart says that, when you hear that Christ has changed, he's cast you off. Continue thou in those things. That's a perversion. Christ's grace and truth have not changed. Christ is full of grace and truth. Any message your heart is hearing that puts any responsibility for salvation on you is a perversion. It's a lie. This scripture calls it evil. The securing of salvation or the keeping of it. Any message you hear that tells you that our salvation in obtaining it or holding on to it has any responsibility on us is a perversion and is a lie. Flee from that. Continue thou in these things. Continue them in the Lord's sovereignty, in the Lord's grace and truth. And finally, a warning to those who do not know Christ. Look again up at verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you don't know Christ or you think you don't need him, then this is your verse. I said that there was a verse to all of us in here. This verse is addressed to you then. If you don't know Christ or you think you don't need him, then you're proving this verse true, being deceived. Our sinful natures will not come to Christ out of pride or out of a complete lack of need. I don't need to come to Christ for forgiveness because I simply don't need forgiveness. And if that's you, I have hope. I have hope for you. That was me, and that was everyone in this room at one point. And that was Paul, and that was Timothy at one point. And I pray that the Lord show you who you are and give you that life. Ask him. Come to him. If that worries you, and if verse 13 doesn't worry you, then you should be worried all the more. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you're not coming to Christ, you're being deceived. Ask him to show you. He delights to show mercy. You have not because you ask not. There's never been a soul that's come to Christ in his sovereignty, full of grace and truth, and asked for mercy that soul didn't receive. Election doesn't keep people away. Ask him. I implore you, and this text implores you, don't be that evil men and seducers that shall wax worse and worse. Don't be deceived. Come to Christ. Ask him. A saving knowledge of Christ comes from Christ. Christ is sovereign in salvation, saving whom he will, always in grace and truth. Always in grace and truth. And there's nothing that we sinners can do to persuade him to show that mercy to us. What would we offer to Christ? In as payment, if you will, for his grace, if that was even possible. What is it that we would offer to Christ? Our repentance? The scripture says repentance comes for, it's a gift of God, right? It's a gift from God. We can't offer that. That's a gift to us from God. Our good works? The scriptures say then that grace isn't grace. It's a reward. But sinners, if you're a sinner, sinners receive mercy at the sovereign God as beggars. We had a robin built a nest and a wreath on our front door. I don't know if y'all saw pictures. We posted some pictures of it. Robin built a nest. Mama robin, later egg. Three eggs. Three birds. And once those eggs hatched, I was really struck by those birds. We started using the back door, and we came around because I didn't want to disturb the birds. But I loved looking at them. I'd drive away. I'd stay in the front yard and look at them. You know, whoa, those baby birds. Baby birds are ugly. And all they do... I wish I could. They poke their head up out of that nest and they open their mouths. As wide, I mean, the mouth opens up wider than the bird is. And that's all they do. They sit there with their mouth open like this, waiting for that mama bird to come feed them. And they sit there waiting expectantly. They're expectant. They're expecting mama bird to come feed them. All they do is sit there and squawk with their mouths open wide. We were driving away one time. So a robin had gotten hit on the road, and I was afraid it was that mother robin. Now, it wasn't, but I was afraid that it is. For those baby birds, even if mama was out there dead on the road, baby birds are still just like that. They're not doing anything. They're just waiting, expecting. And that's the way we ask for mercy, waiting, expecting. Our Lord, who delights to show mercy, is more helpless and less deserving than those baby birds. But our Father, who is sovereign, who is full of grace and truth, is in control. He doesn't slumber or sleep. That robin that was dead on the road and was impotent to take care of those babies, that's not our Lord. His arm's not short that he can't reach sinners. Open mouths like those baby birds, begging for grace. That's how we approach our Lord. In closing, let me read those verses again. as comfort for believers in trial, and as an admonition to believers to continue thou in those things, and a warning to those that don't know Christ, a call to those that don't know Christ, continue thou. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. I hope that blesses you.